Seeking for the help of the Lord, I direct your prayerful attention to our first portion, Psalm 71. Psalm 71 and verses 17 and 18. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and grey-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation, and thy power to every one that is to come. Although not written over this psalm, it is thought that this is a psalm of David, and in fact one that was penned in the time of his old age and a time when his son Absalom pursued after him. And there is through this psalm those professions of trust in the Lord. We have the trust and hope in the first verse, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. And then we have also the verses further on in verse 14, but I will hope continually. And then in verse 16, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. And the professions of hope and trust are right through the psalm. Verse 5, for thou art my hope, O Lord God. But where these professions are, there's also much prayer. And there's much prayer that the Lord would, as in verse 1, let me never be put to confusion. Assurance does not lead to a prayerlessness. Assurance does not lead to the thought that we do not need the Lord to maintain those blessings to us. It is those that walk in the sparks of their own kindling and in their own strength that say, I will never be in trouble. I will never be in need. The people of God is rightly consistent with true faith, true trust and true assurance is to be much in prayer that those blessings are kept and maintained and right through our journey's end. One of our hymns says, dream not of faith so clear as shuts all doubtings out. Well, here he professes faith, but is very much joined with prayer. And really it's a mark of those who really do trust, because what they are trusting in is the Lord. And maybe be clear on this as well. It is one thing to say to trust in the Lord to guide us and to keep us and to preserve us from harm. There's another thing also to trust in the Lord that he'll maintain our faith and trust and confidence and hope in him. And your trust is that he'll keep alive the graces that he has given you. The life that he has given, he will maintain and he will sustain it. And you see that quite apart from the blessings of trust. They're the tools, they're the exercises of the graces. It's like a workman that is, say, to use a simple illustration, using a spade. And while he's got that spade, he can do much work with it. But if the spade is starting to weaken, he thinks, if this spade breaks, I can't do my work anymore. I need this spade to be strong. I need it so that I can do my work with it. And so the people of God, the way that they work or the way that they go through this life is leaning upon the Lord with the graces and blessings he gives. But if those start to shake, if it was that their trust is undermined, if it is that their hope is taken away, then how are they going to do, how are they going to get on with anything else? That is crucial. That is the most blessed thing. And really I say to any of you here, however much tribulation, however much trial, however much things might be falling apart around you and in your life, if the Lord has still maintained in your heart trust in Him and hope in Him and confidence in Him, dear friend, you're a blessed soul. You're blessed to have that, that the Lord has kept that with you. However much everything else may seem to be trembling. You know, the psalmist, when he comes to Psalm 42, why art thou disquieted? Why art thou cast down within me? My soul is cast down within me. Hope thou in God. His hope was still there. His hope was still there. And so you see this throughout this psalm here. And it is then that we come to the words of our text, which if we were to look at these two verses, there really could be inserted in between them that which we would find in the first book of Samuel. And it was when they'd had deliverance out of the hand of the Philistines. And when the Lord had blessed them and delivered them, then Samuel, he takes a stone and he sets it up between Mizpah and Shen, and he says, Ebenezer, he called the name of it Ebenezer, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. And it is like that with our text. In the middle between these two verses is like an Ebenezer stone. Here he is and he realizes that he is old, that he is grey-headed, and he can look back and he can look forward. Verse 17 looks back and verse 18 looks forward. And there he is in the middle of it. He's conscious, he's mindful of where he is in the pathway of life. Now there's many times I've looked at this psalm and I thought, this is a psalm for old people. This is a psalm for the elderly. But when I read this verse and I looked in the mirror and I thought, well, the Word of God tells that this psalm, this verse is for me, because I'm certainly not in my youth anymore and I am grey-headed. And it comes as quite a shock, quite a surprise to think, well, here is this that perhaps for years I've looked, that's for someone else. That's for my dear age friends. And the Lord says, you're starting to come there. You are there. And at what age is it that you then say, well, this now is you? I can look back. He's not at the end of the journey. He's still looking forward. I hope I can look forward a little too, and with the same desires. It brings us to this, doesn't it? Is to realizing where we actually are. We're speaking of youth here. Thou hast taught me from my youth. Is speaking of grey-headedness, speaking of the aged. And are we mindful of where we are in life's journey? The Lord very often blesses the young and those in youth. That is what is here. And there are the children here and young people here. And are you mindful of your age and what the Bible speaks to you about those your age? That those that seek me early shall find me. That the children are suffered to come unto the Lord, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Do you think, you young people and children, think that you in your life are in the age when many of God's people are blessed? And I do, I exhort you to seek him while he may be found. And while you have many of the pressures and lumens of youth and many things, remember the word of the Lord. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And those of you that are like me, you come through youth and you don't consider yourself old yet, but the Bible starts to tell you, you are starting to have those grey hairs, you have every sign of it. At what point do you say, I'm now old? It always struck me years ago. Over in Melbourne, I had a dear sister in faith. I loved her in the truth, aged lady. She baptised, I think, when she was late in life. She died when she was 81. But, you know, I visited her on her 81st birthday in a nursing home. And the family were already there. And they got her in the day room. They were giving her presents. When she knew I'd come, she came out and she came down the corridor away from the family. And she said, oh, Roland, she says, they want to give me all presents. But she says, I don't want them. I don't need them. She says, I'm an old lady now. She says, I'm 81. And it suddenly hit her. And she says, I'm not going to be here long. I don't need all of these things. And to me, it was the voice of the Lord. And she felt that the Lord had given her that notice that she was to be taken. I felt it so. And you know, 3 months after that, the Lord took her to herself. We had 2 months of sweet communion and fellowship, one with another, believing that the time was short that we had. The last month, she was so ill that we couldn't have any communion one with another at all. The Lord wonderfully prepared us. But it struck me, how she'd gone all the way past the 80 years and 10. She'd got to the 80 years. And still, it hadn't really been impressed on her until that birthday. And it suddenly hit her. And I believe it was of the Lord. But I felt as looking at this word, maybe it's those with some of you here, and year has gone, and year has gone, and you're not realising how your life is just going away. And where are you? Are you in the blessed position of the psalmist here that can look back in this way and look forward? Now maybe there are those of you here and you cannot look back to any of the teaching of the Lord. You cannot look back like our first hymn of being called by grace and born again of the Spirit. You cannot make any testimony of what you have said of the works of the Lord. And looking forward, you can't speak this language as well. Dear friends, be honest with yourselves, with this verse. Can you speak its language? Are you in the middle of it? Are you at the beginning of it? Or perhaps it is that you, even like it was said of Jesse, David's father, that he went for an old man in those days. Maybe there's some of you here, you go for old men today. May it be perhaps for the first time, really enters into your heart where you actually are in life's journey. And that what is vitally needful, you must confess you do not have. Oh, may you give the Lord no rest. That you make it your plea. If it was a plea of the psalmist here, with the graces and blessings that God had given him, that these be maintained. If you haven't them, oh, may that be more urgent, and the prayers even more urgent, that the Lord bless you with these while life remain. When King Ahasuerus sent forth the posts that were to bring the tidings first of death but later of life from the Shushan, the palace. They were sent out with haste. There was a need of haste because that time, especially in the second summons, that time drew near. And we know not the number of our days. We haven't hear the petitions, cast me not off in the time of old age, forsake me not when my strength faileth me. And it is that my mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. How we could put there as well, I will seek thee while thou mayest be found, because I know not the numbers of my days. Well, I want to look, as it were, standing in the middle of these two verses, standing where the psalmist is here, and look back and see what he sees that way, and then look forward and see what he sees that way. First there's looking back. And what he looks back to, he looks back to the teaching when he was young. We read, O God, thou hast taught me from my youth. He does not say, thou hast taught me in my youth, or when I was young, then I was taught. He says, thou hast taught me from my youth. And we're reminded in this, that the Lord's teaching does never stop. It does never stop. You know, there are some of us, and you young people, perhaps you've gone through primary school and secondary school, perhaps you've gone to university, and then you've gone out to work. You might say, well, I've finished my learning now. I've finished all my schooling. But do you really stop learning when you start to go to work? When you first become a parent? Even when you become a grandparent? Have you really stopped learning? And in the school of Christ, where the Lord begins, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. What he looks back here is a beginning to be taught of the Lord. You might say perhaps, well, I can't quite place the exact time of when the Lord began. But I can remember a specific time that there was teaching in that trial, in that providence, in that which I passed through, the Lord used it as teaching for my soul. You may read words like this and perhaps not realize the full extent of what blessing is here. Because the promise that the Lord gives to all his children is that all thy children shall be taught of the Lord. Great shall be the peace of thy children. They shall not teach every man his neighbour, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least unto the greatest. Even though the Lord uses a ministry, a teaching ministry, and he uses the word of God, he uses means, but the teacher is the Lord himself. It is the Lord that shows his dear people the way that they are to go. And in that way, really, the church of God, the true church of God, is kept pure right through the ages. You know, if it was so that it was just built upon man again and again, how easy it would be that errors come in. But for each of the people of God, their teacher is God himself. And so here really is the psalmist where he looks back and he says, O God, thou hast taught me from my youth. In effect, he is saying, thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou hast given me an evidence of being in thy covenant, and thy promise I have received of this teaching. And he sees what is bound up in it. And maybe there's some of you here. And the Lord is teaching you. He has begun to teach you. But you don't realize what is bound up with that. You don't realize that that is a mark of sonship. that is a blessing that is peculiar to the people of God. That it comes into the promises of God for his chosen and redeemed people. And that the reason why he teaches them is because they were given by the Father to the Son to redeem. And that the Son himself has suffered upon Calvary's tree for their sins laid upon him. And that he hath borne away their sins and taken away the wrath of God. And that he himself has made a way into the holiest of all, a new and living way that they are to walk and that they are to enter in. One of the marks of our Lord's ministry upon the earth for his disciples, we read again and again, he taught them as he was wont to do, or he taught them again. And with his parables, he told the parables, and then when his disciples were alone, then he expounded unto them those parables and taught them. He said unto them, that is those without, these things are spoken in parables, that seeing they might not see and hearing they might not hear, but unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And that's why they were being taught, because they were given that blessing. And that's why every one of God's children is taught, because the Lord has given them that blessing to be taught of God. And the psalmist here, he says this, O God, thou hast taught me from my youth. And what is implied here as well is that the psalmist knew that he had been taught from his youth. He knew that God had taught him. That had not been hidden from him. You think of that beautiful word, I think it's in Isaiah 30 or Isaiah 28. Thy teachers shall not be removed into a corner any more, for thine eyes shall see thy teachers, and thy ears shall hear a word behind thee. This is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the left hand. And when he turned to the right. I remember a particular time that word was very precious to me. Thy teachers shall not be removed into a corner anymore. And you know, I saw in providences, I saw in bitter things, I saw in afflictions, I saw in people's kindness to me, I saw in those things that happened in my life, the teaching hand of God. God took them. And he made them to work for good for me. And he used them to teach me about himself and about myself and about the things of God. And I could see them. And that scripture was fulfilled. And I believe it is still being fulfilled. It's a blessed thing to, and it makes such a difference. However difficult and trying and troubling a path is, to see that the Lord has done it for an instruction. You know, some of those things that I passed through, at least in the first, I could see that there was some good in another way, like in providence. The Lord may have worked in a certain way, and a door was shut for one place of employment, open for another place of employment, and I saw the Lord's teaching in that, and the benefit was for me was to see the pathway in life that the Lord would have me to go. But then there came a time that I was brought through things and I couldn't see any material benefit whatsoever. No job, no direction, nothing in that way whatsoever. But something in the Word of God concerning the Lord Jesus Christ had been unlocked and opened up and shown. I remember when that first happened and when I first realized that and how I felt so softened, as if the Lord said to me, you've hitherto prized the teaching of intemporal things and seeing my guidance and help in that. But now, all what I've done in this instance is for your soul and to teach you the most precious and valuable things that ever you can know, not for this time, but for that which is to come. And the sense of the Lord's love to my soul and care over my soul, that the Lord should care for my soul and teach my soul, that time was so softening and so humbling. Dear friends, value the Lord's teaching for your soul, spiritual teaching, more than anything else. The psalmist prays that the Lord would show him and reveal to him the wondrous things out of thy law, that these things might be revealed and opened. So on the way to Emmaus, had the Lord himself opened to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. The eunuch had Philip come, and through the ministry of the word, and yes, may it be, through the ministry, and here this afternoon, through the ministry of the word, the passage in Isaiah 53 opened up who he was speaking of. Do any of you count that? It wouldn't be a blessing. One of the sweetest blessings, one of the first blessings I had in the word, as I read in the scriptures at the meal table on my own in my home. I was reading the account when Jacob was wrestling with the angel. And I read those words, there wrestled a man with him to the breaking of the day. And as I read those words, it seemed such a light shone upon that word, a man. There was the eternal Son of God. Before he came to this earth, Lord Jesus Christ. Later on, it was said to Jacob his name should be called Israel. Why? Because he'd wrestled with God and with man. There was the God-man. And I never forget the wonder and amazement. I sat there looking at that word, a man. And that was precious to me. And I can see, I can feel and know how the eunuch must have felt through the ministry to have opened up who was in Isaiah 53, the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and to see him and to believe in him. How the eunuch said when Philip had asked him, understandest thou what thou readest? How can I except some man guide me? Philip was used. The Spirit had brought Philip. The Spirit had brought together the very place where he was reading. He'd been given his text. And there it had been opened up. The psalmist, he says, O God, thou hast taught me from my youth. And those of you here that can look back like that, and you can use this language that the psalmist had. Thou hast taught me from my youth. When was the last time the Lord taught you one of his lessons? It troubles me sometimes. I look back and I think the Lord's been silent for a long while. You can get into low places sometimes. Seems as if the Lord has forsaken the work. Troubles us. But he looks back and he says, thou hast taught me from my youth. But then he also says this, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. In another way, he could have said this, has taught me thy wondrous works from my youth, and when I have been taught those works, I have declared them. I have not hid them in my heart. You know the psalmist in Psalm 40, he says, I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Though I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Like in Psalm 66, come and hear all ye that fear God, and I will tell you what he hath done for my soul. It is joined together, you know, if the Lord has shown you something wonderful and about himself and about salvation, then you'll want to tell about it. The two on the way to Emmaus, even though it was evening and they constrained the Lord to come in to them, and the day is far spent, they said, but when he was revealed to them, they couldn't get back to the disciples quick enough. And what was their message? They told what things were done in the way and how Jesus had been revealed to them in the breaking of the bread. How immediate! What had been taught them and shown them, immediately they wanted to share it and to tell others about it. When the Lord healed and cured those of their leprosy or of the mad Gadarene, oh, those who said, go home to thy friends and tell what great things God hath done unto thee and had mercy unto thee. And some of them even he tried to restrain, but they still spake out. And when the Pharisees said, when our Lord came into Jerusalem and they were crying, Hosanna to him that cometh in the name of the Lord, they said, Master, restrain thy disciples. And he said, if these should hold their peace, the very stones would cry out. Such was the effect of what they saw, that this was he that was coming in the name of the Lord. The disciples, when they were charged to not preach again in the name of the Lord, they said, we cannot but speak of the things that what we have seen and heard. For we ought to obey God rather than man. And it was what had been shown them and revealed them, which was so wonderful. Is it not so naturally? And of you younger friends, if you have had things at school and you've had it shown you, do you not ever come home and you say to mum or say to dad, oh, we were taught this today, and you're so full of it. It's been so wonderful. It's new. You've never known that before. And maybe your parents have known it for years, but that doesn't matter, because to you it is new, it's fresh, and you want to share it. You want to tell them about it. It's only natural, isn't it? It is so in a spiritual way. It's a double proof, really. Have the things that have been taught us been wonderful things out of the law of God, out of the gospel of God, things that to us have been precious and worth passing on to another? Or are they things that we think, well, we'll have it just for ourselves? You know, there's the account when the city of Samaria was under siege, and there was the four leprous men at the entering in of the gate. And they said that if they stayed there, then they would die. If they went into the city, there was a famine in the city. And if they went out to the Syrians, then the worst that they could do was to kill them. But perhaps they would have food. Well, they ventured out, and the Lord had caused them, the Syrians, to hear a noise, as it were, of horses and an army, and they had fled. And they came and found the camp empty. They went into one tent and they carried forth food and garments and all treasure, and then into another, went to hide it. Then they said one to another, we do not well. This is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. Come and let us go and tell the king's household. And they went and told the king's household, and all then, oh, Samaria, all of them had that benefit and that blessing of what they'd found. Our Lord is very clear in this, that where his people are blessed with his grace and his teaching, they are to be the salt of the earth. Where they are blessed with his presence and his light, they are to be as a candle set upon a candlestick that giveth light to all that are around. They're not to put a bushel over it. They're not to hide it. But they're to make it known and show forth the praises of him who hath called them out of nature's darkness and into his marvellous light. And in the very doing of that, it proves the reality of it. That whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. They won't be ashamed of what the Lord has told them or taught them and the way that he's done it and the path that he's put them in. Rather than not ashamed of it, it is what they're so thankful for. Why? Why was I made to hear thy voice and enter while this room when millions make a wretched choice and rather starve than come? It's very humbling to think the Lord should pass by others, and yet with us he passes by and bids us live, and he begins to teach and instruct us in the way that we should go. And so this is what, as he looks back, he says, O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. The wondrous works that the Lord has revealed to him on Calvary, the redemption through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the works of God as the advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, a voice that speaks for us in heaven's high court for good, his works with us in providence, minding that spot and place where Jesus did us meet, and the way that the Lord has taught us and born with us in all of our sin and provocations, and the wonderful works of the Lord towards his dear people and towards the church of God, those works of the Lord that are past finding out in providence, in creation and in grace. All the works of the Lord will be precious to a soul who first sees that Jesus is the Saviour of all men, especially of them that believe. He is good to all. His tender mercies are over all his works. He hath not dealt with us after our sins deserved, but as the heaven is high above the earth, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. He openeth his hand. He satisfieth the desire of every living thing. The Lord is a merciful God, long-suffering and forbearing, and he ever lives to carry on his people's cause above. He never forgets his people. He's graven them on the palms of his hands. Their walls are always before him. His protection is round about them. His blessing is upon them. And it is, as the children of Israel proved when the Lord began with them, they saw his wonderful works in Egypt. They saw his wonderful works at the Red Sea, his wonderful works at Marah, his wonderful works in the wilderness. They saw his wonderful works as they went through the River Jordan. All of the Lord's works are wonderful in the eyes of the people of God. This, have you ever felt this? Had you seen it and said, this is the Lord's work, and it is marvellous in our eyes. Isaac, when Abraham's servant was sent to get a wife for him, and when he goes to the well and he prays that the Lord would show him the one and send the one that had been appointed for his master's son, and before he'd even done praying, the Lord answers his prayer and brings Rebekah and so answers his prayer. He can't stop talking about it. He tells Bethuel, he tells Laban, and then no doubt he tells Isaac as well. And he's full of how the Lord answered his prayer and went before him while he was in the way. Have you known what that is? And you wanted to tell of what the Lord had done and how he had helped you and answered your prayer. And it is in our eyes. It's a wonderful thing, a marvellous thing. Well, this is what he looks back to. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works, no doubt like myself. Those of you who can look back, you'll see much sin, much imperfection, much things that you'll be ashamed of. But our sacrifices, they are mixed with sin. They're like the peace offering sacrifice that was actually offered with leaven, which typified sin. But our sacrifices are offered on the basis and on the top of Christ's complete sin atoning sacrifice. And his work is perfect. And how the Lord then deals with us, and in mercy, it were overlooks or covers with the mantle of his love the sin and the imperfections, that which ascends up as a sweet savour to God and the prayers of his people is sprinkled with the precious blood of Christ. You have ever wondered, you young people, why the Lord's people so often so plead that precious name and blood of Jesus? There is the acceptance in heaven of our prayer. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Well, the psalmist then looks the other way, looks forward. And he says, oh, now also when I am old and grey-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. God's presence is needed to show his strength and his power. Never think that the Lord's people can grow independent of the Lord. In the Song of Solomon, we read of the spouse coming up out of the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved. And that is how we must go through this wilderness. Lean hard upon the Lord. Moses earnestly desired the presence of the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. And that is one of the most sweetest, is blessed, real tokens of a child of God, is to have something, a sense of the Lord's presence to go with us. The deepest trials, the bitterest cups will be made precious if the Lord is there. That sense of his presence there. Oh, forsake me not. But there was a reason why. His burden was on the next generation. He realizing that promise unto you and your children, even as many as the Lord thy God shall call. Sometimes you get a dear aged saint, perhaps a grandfather, and you might wonder, and you might think, well, he's just got a new grandchild. Won't he be happy? Won't he be full of praises? But he sees the other way around. And his comments, you might think, well, it doesn't seem to be in order. He feels so impressed with the weight of this soul. Another born. Another with a precious soul. Another to pray for. Another to be born, to born again. You know, as the Lord's dear people near their journey's end, they see these that are coming up in this waste-howling wilderness with precious souls. And that weighs heavy on them. And this is the desire of the psalmist here. He wants to show this now. What did he, until I showed thy strength, in the margin, probably of your Bibles too, it says thine arm. And if we look at Isaiah 53, then in that prophecy, we read there, and who is the arm of the Lord revealed? Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? The arm of the Lord is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the strength of his people. He is the way that his people are saved. The psalmist, he was to point the generation to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, to the strength, to the arm, to the help of God. It laid help upon one that is mighty. Dear friends, especially those who may feel to stand in between these verses, and with the grey hairs, and you've got your children and children's children, may this burden be laid upon you while life remain, to show to them the arm of the Lord Jesus Christ. You need his presence yourself. This is not now telling. In the previous, it was telling. Now it is showing. Previously, as I declared thy wondrous works, now he's going to show thy strength. My strength is failing. My strength is being brought down. My mud-walled cottage is shaking. But my strength is in God. My help is in him. And there is my strength. It's a blessed witness. And it may be a silent witness. And yet through trials and tribulations, to bear them with that help from the Lord. But it is also to show thy power. And what did the Apostle Paul in writing to the Romans say? He was not ashamed of the gospel. Why? Because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. I fear that more and more in our day, you know, there are those churches, and they are what is warned in the scripture. They have a name to live. They have a name of Christ. But they deny the power thereof. We need the power of God that accompanies salvation. The power of the Holy Spirit. The quickening work of God. That power, that might, put forth on our behalf. The strength of God given unto us. And that's what made the gospel not ashamed for the apostle. Because through the word and through the spirit, then there was the blessing in sinners' souls. And so this is the burden and desire of the psalmist here in looking forward. Bless God that there is a generation that is to come. I think you know that more and more, there are those of you who know that out there are those of you here, and you have your family gatherings, and you look at the family, and it may be just you, or perhaps several of you, and then the rest of them might be a gathering of 40 or 50, and they don't fear the Lord. They don't know the Lord. They come to your home. You seek to read with them. You seek to pray. You seek to speak to them. You wonder, is anything truly blessed of the Lord? May you be helped to continue like that. You might be despised for it. But the word may be blessed. And certainly it's in the way of the word here. Oh, blessed thing, if there is a real, true witness shown here. Remember some years ago now, I bought a Bible, and I bought it off eBay, actually. When I got it, I looked in it, and in the front of it, he got so loving inscription to a grandfather and a great-grandfather. And inside I looked and there was notes of, and from the book of Job. Oh, that I knew where I might find him. And I looked through several of these notes. I thought, whoever had this Bible, I believe was not only one of the Lord's people, but was also a minister of the gospel. And I contacted the owner. And I said, why have you parted with this Bible? They said, this was our grandfather's. We loved him so much. But we haven't continued in his way. They spoke so lovingly of his life, his testimony, and they had given him the Bible for his 70th birthday. But he liked his old, well-worn Bible. And so their new one had hardly been used at all. I said to her, if you ever change your mind, you contact me and I'll give it you straight back. I said, but we'll use this in our family worship, and we do still now. But a solemn thing. His witness had been a real witness. They couldn't deny it. They spoke so highly of his faith, his witness and his life. But they didn't desire to walk in his ways. A solemn, solemn witness. But here is this desire. The sovereign work of God, it is God's work. God's work to bless. God's work to own it. But this is the desire of the people of God, who would show to their children and grandchildren what has been precious to them. And maybe there's some of you here that really what you need to do as well is to speak of what the Lord has taught you to the church of God. Don't neglect that, dear friends. The ordinances of the Lord's house and the public declaration of faith is vital, is needful. It's a needful witness. A witness of what you have received and prize and value, and to encourage and strengthen the church of God in hearing what he has done for your soul. May the Lord help us so to do. May the Lord add his blessing. Amen.